We welcome the radio audience to our Bible study as the radio Bible class streams across the nation and around the world. We bring to you a message how Christ ministers to his disciples after the resurrection. We greet you on the internet and radio and Twitter with the message that Jesus is alive today. Today's lesson is titled, How Will You Build? And it comes from 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. Before we start our lesson today, Word Talk Inc. could use your support. Playing music on the radio sounds simple, but actually it's quite costly due to publishing rights and royalties for the music. And before the first song is ever played, there are utility bills and tower rental fees and maintenance and so forth. Help us with a charitable contribution by calling 601-483-8648. And there they can take your information over the phone safely and securely. Or mail us your gift to Word Talk Inc., P.O. Box 4334, Meridian, Mississippi 39304. Now, your gift to Word Talk Inc. is IRS approved as a 501c3 tax exempt ministry. Your contribution is never used for salary or managerial purposes, but 100% of it goes to the expense of providing the good news of Jesus over the air. Won't you help us today by sending your gift to Word Talk Inc.? Now, today we continue our study in 1 Corinthians, and if you missed any of these lessons, you can go back and listen to them on our Facebook page, and that's www.facebook.com/radiobibleclass with no spaces. www.facebook.com/radiobibleclass. As I've said, there's a lot of stuff in this letter that Paul was inspired to write to the church at Corinth. We've already studied several topics. First, Paul wanted the church in Corinth to be unified. If you remember, this church was divided into four fractions. There were those who followed Paul, those who followed Apollos, those who followed Cephas or Peter, and those who follow Christ. Now, there were these splits in the church, and Paul tries to bring the church back together, and he tells them they shouldn't be following man, but they should be unified in Christ. Next, he went into the topic of godly wisdom, and Paul said that godly wisdom is much greater than man's wisdom. With man's wisdom, no matter how many men you put together, no matter how smart they aren't even in the same league with God's wisdom. So Paul encourages the Corinthians to seek after godly wisdom and not worldly wisdom. He reminds them of how he preached his testimony in the cross. And then he challenged them to do likewise, that they should preach the cross and tell others what Christ had done for them. He tells them to keep the message plain and simple. And next, Paul introduced the Holy Spirit. And he taught the Corinthians that when we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit and we also get the mind of Christ. And as we learn to be sensitive and as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, then we can start utilizing godly wisdom through the mind of Christ. And last, Paul told them that they should be moving towards maturity, moving from a spiritual baby who feeds on milk to a mature Christian who's able to eat meat. He told them, quit acting foolish, quit being childlike. And last week, we ended our lesson with Paul giving us an example of gardening. In verse 9, he said, we are God's field, but then he also says we are God's building. He tells the church at Corinth that they are like a building, and that's where we pick up today. I bet most of you remember the story of the three little pigs. When it was time for the pigs to head out into the world and build their own house, each had thoughts of how they would have this perfect plan for building their house. The first pig chose to build his house with straw. The second chose to build his house with sticks. Last, the third pig chose to build his house with bricks. Now, when the big bad wolf came to eat the pig for dinner, the first pig, it took no time for him to huff and puff and blow down the house of straw. That first pig raced to the second pig's house, and the wolf followed after him. And again, in no time, he blew down the house of sticks. Now, the two frightened pigs ran to the third pig's house, and there the third pig bolted the door, and he closed the shutter. And you know, the big bad wolf couldn't blow down the house of bricks. No matter how hard he tried, the house stood. You remember the rest of the story? He climbs up on the roof, comes down the chimney into a boiling kettle of water hanging over a fire. This is a kid's favorite story. The only problem, it's a fairy tale. Historians haven't been able to identify the origin of the story, but versions appear in print all the way back to the mid-1800s. Now, Paul was from the first century, and I would guess he never heard this story of the three pigs. And if he had heard this story, I think he would have liked the moral of the story. When you build a house, the materials and the methods you choose matter. Straw and twigs won't work. For building a house to last, it must be made of stern material and built on a solid foundation. So Paul gives us a good how-to guide today for building the church. Look how he begins in 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. The first thing that Paul points out in our how-to guide is we need to build a solid foundation. In verse 10, he said, I laid a foundation. He's saying, I started the church, I planted the church, I reached most of you, and I got it going on a solid foundation. I don't know how many builders I have listening, but I'll be the first to admit I'm not a builder. Now, my dad is a structural engineer, and he's designed and overseen lots of buildings in Meridian and the surrounding area. My brother Mark has a construction company that focuses on building commercial buildings, but I'm not a builder, so I'm going to keep it plain and simple, just like Paul said in chapter 2. Now, most of my building knowledge comes from building my house in Brandon, Mississippi. The first thing they had to do when building my house was build a solid foundation. Now, if you're not aware, in central Mississippi, there's a lot of what they call Yazoo clay. And one way to get a solid foundation through this Yazoo clay is to dig down till you get past it. And when building my house, that's what they did. They dug down 7 feet. They pulled all that Yazoo clay out and they filled it back in with topsoil. And they pressed it down and put more topsoil until they had a solid foundation. If you don't, that clay will expand when the wet season comes and it'll contract in the dry season. And it has ruined many house foundations in central Mississippi. If you want a solid foundation, you need something solid for it to be built on. It can't move. It needs to be solid. How about the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It took almost 200 years to build, and it didn't start out leaning, but when they got to the second floor, on one side, it was built on unstable soil. They stopped building for over a decade to allow that soil to settle, and if they hadn't, the tower would have most likely toppled. Because of a poor foundation, today it slants almost 4 degrees or 12 feet off vertical. A solid foundation is important to a building and the strength of that building. And Paul says in verse 10 that he laid a solid foundation. And he goes on to point out the 3 parts of a solid foundation for a church. Now, not the building, but the body of believers in the church. And he writes in verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. Paul says that a solid foundation first must be laid on Jesus Christ. I mean, you hear churches say Jesus is the focus, but the truth is we often get our focus off him and on other things. Like we start focus on programs to drive numbers in the church. Or we follow a pastor and not Christ. What we have to do is refocus every day on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they replied, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Others say Jeremiah and one of the other prophets. But then Jesus made it very personal. He said, what do you say? Who do you say I am? I mean, this is foundational. It is one of the most important questions in all the world that each person has to answer. Who do you say Jesus is? If you remember, Peter responded, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus told him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then Jesus went on to say, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now Peter answered that question perfectly, and Jesus said, I'm going to build upon this rock. And now if you go all the way back to Paul's day, there are people that have mistaken what Jesus said. They believe that Jesus said he was going to build the church on Peter. And no, that's not what he said. We all know who Peter is, and thank God he's not the foundation of the church. And just a few more verses down, we'll see that Jesus calls him Satan. So he didn't always get it right. But what Jesus is saying is that he's going to build the church on the foundation of the identity that Peter got right. Jesus is the rock on which the church is built. Jesus is the cornerstone. And Paul wrote that in Ephesians 2:19 and 20. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, it's on Jesus Christ we build our foundation. Now, also, Paul calls himself an architect. If you look at verse 10, look back with me. Like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. He says he was a master builder. In the Greek, that word master builder is architekton. And that's where we get our word architect from. And Paul says he's a wise architect. Now, you have to understand that today architects don't build. They just design what the customers tell them that they want. But back in the first century, not only did they design it, but they also built it. As a matter of fact, carpenter uses that same Greek word, architekton. So Paul is saying, I was wise how I taught you by building a foundation on Jesus. Now next, Paul says our foundation is by grace. Look back with me at verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me. The second point that Paul makes out of having a solid spiritual foundation is grace. The foundation is all about Jesus, and it's only by grace. Most of the early churches had a problem of drifting back to works and the law. They would say, yeah, I understand about Jesus, but you know, I got to go back and have circumcision done and do all that law stuff, and that way I'll be acceptable to God. But even today, there are people that are walking around with this same mindset. They believe, if I just go to church more, if I just listen to Christian music more, if I just try to be a better person, then I'll be more acceptable to God. No, that's not grace. Listen to me, that's not grace. That's works, and that's the law, and that's not what Paul is writing. And there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that you can do that makes yourself more acceptable to God. It's only by grace. And Paul says, it was by grace. Everything we've been given to us has been given to us through the grace of God. We've not earned it. We didn't deserve it. I mean, think about Paul, who God inspired to write this letter. He was a murderer. He was a religious zealot, and he was doing all the religious stuff, but he was a lost man. He was a bad man until that day on the road to Damascus. Afterwards, everywhere he went, he delivered the message of the cross and the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast." Isn't that what a lot of people want to do? When they do good works, they want everyone to see those good works. They want everyone to know how good they are. And if it were by works, then we would all compare ourselves to one another. But it's not. It's only by grace. The only comparison should be between us and God, and that we'll lose every time. It's easy for Christians to slip into the works mindset. You know, you get to teaching in your church, or maybe you're helping in kids' church, or maybe you go visit the sick, maybe you're an usher. But if you're not careful, all of a sudden a small voice comes up and it whispers in your ear, "Man, you sure are doing a lot of good things, but look at him. I bet he doesn't do all the stuff you do for the church. Or look at her. Don't you know what she did in her past?" And all of a sudden we start looking down at our fellow Christians like we're better than them, but we're no different. We're all sinners that would be going to hell if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and grace. We have to remember it's all about Jesus and it's all about grace. And this is the message that Paul taught when he was at Corinth. But now that he's left, the believers in the church have started giving glory to man and not to God. And they've started bringing works back into the message. And the last thing to make up our solid foundation is purpose. And God has a purpose. We as Christians seem to forget this one a lot. We like to do our own thing. Most people will tell you that they enjoy that gratification of doing what they want to do. We learned last week that this was a problem in this church at Corinth. Paul told them in verse 3 that they were still of the flesh. And we need to understand that God is sovereign. He's over everything, and he has a building plan even when we are being fleshy. God's plan includes us individually. It includes the church, and it even includes his kingdom. Romans 8:29 says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers." That's saying that all those that put their faith in him are being conformed to look more like his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I like that. I want to look like Jesus more. Don't you want to look like Jesus more? He wants you to look more like Jesus to your friends and to your relatives and to your neighbor and to your coworkers. And that's what God is doing. We just have to yield to it, and we have to be willing to be a part of it. Now, in Matthew 26:39, Jesus gives us an example, and it says, "And going a little further, he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" See, Jesus looked in that cup, and he saw the sins of the whole world. He saw the murder in the whole world, and war, and hatred, and adultery, and lying, and every other sin that you could name. But Jesus yielded his life to the purpose of God. And our foundation is solid when it's built on Jesus, only by grace, and used for its purpose. Now Paul shows us the second how-to, which is to start forming the building. Look with me at verse 12. "Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw." Now that the solid foundation is set, the new building has to be built. How do we do that? Well, with people, materials, and method. If you look at verse 10, Paul says he laid a foundation and someone's building on it, and let each take care how they build upon it. Now what Paul is saying there is he's saying, I laid a foundation and Apollos is now putting up the walls. And each person who comes to help build on this foundation needs to be careful in picking up the building materials that they use. Just like it takes more than one person to build a building, it takes different people to build God's church. Hebrews 13:7, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider their outcome of their ways of their life and imitate their faith." It's saying appreciate spiritual leaders who have taught you the word of God. Look at how they live their life, and if it's right, imitate it. Remember their faith and imitate that. Think about the different people who have invested in your life and your walk with God. Think of the pieces that they've poured into you in your journey. It takes different people to form the building. Paul also says not only does it take different people, but they use different methods. And he warns that anyone who comes behind and builds on a foundation needs to be careful how they do so. And Paul is really saying anyone teaching should be careful to teach the truth. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2-5, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itchy ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, doing the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul tells Timothy to proclaim the gospel. Keep it truthful. Challenge those who you teach. He says there will be times when they won't want to hear the truth of the gospel. They'll just want you to tickle their ears. They don't want to face their sin, so they'll turn their back on the truth. But be a good servant. Live what you preach. Keep the message of the cross alive. Now, it takes different people, and it takes different methods. But then Paul describes his method that he used in chapter 2 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. As I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul is saying, my method was plain and simple. I taught Jesus and the cross. I didn't try to make it entertaining by adding stories to it. I taught you the truth so your faith wouldn't be in me or man. I kept it plain and simple so God could show his power through the Holy Spirit, and he get all the glory, not me. There will be different people, and there'll be different methods. And last, he says in verse 12, there'll be different materials. Now look back with me. If anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now this list sounds almost like the three little pig stories that I told you earlier. People say there will be different builders, and they'll build with different materials. Look what Jesus had to say in Matthew 7, where he told the parable about the wise and the foolish man who built their houses. Matthew 7:24-27. "Everyone then who hears the words of mine and doeth them will be like a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What Jesus is saying is everyone who takes the word of God and applies it to their life, they will have a solid foundation when the storms of life come. Those people will be able to stand firm through that storm. But the foolish people who hear the word of God and they ignore it or they don't apply it, then in their life, they don't have a solid foundation. And when the storms of life come, when what the world believes changes, they won't be able to stand because the foundation moves and they'll be crushed. The question you should be asking yourself, am I hearing the word of God and am I living it out? Am I applying it to my life? How are you building your life? What men, what people are influencing your life? What methods have they brought into your walk? And last, you have to be careful because this all determines the building materials you use in your faith. And John describes this in Revelation 21 about the new heaven that was revealed to him. Listen to the material they use. Revelation 21, 18 through 21. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was agate, the fourth was emerald, the fifth was onyx, the sixth was carnelian, the seventh was crystallite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th janus, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates of the 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. This is John writing, trying to describe what he saw. Now, I don't know about you, but some of these jewels listed, I've never heard of, and I even had trouble pronouncing. What I can tell you, he's describing magnificence. Now, I don't know if John's description accurately describes what it'll be like when we get there, but what I can tell you is God builds with precious building material. And what are some examples on how to build with this different materials? I think if you have a heart of service, then it's like gold, silver, and precious stone. But spiritual laziness and an attitude to let others do it, that would be like building with wood, hay, and straw in God's eyes. Generosity with what you have and your time, giving it to the Lord, is like building with gold, silver, and precious stones. But walking in the flesh and self-centeredness and stinginess are like building with wood, hay, and straw. See, these are just a few examples, but that is how you build with different materials. And just like when you build a building, there comes a day to inspect that building and make sure that it was built with the proper materials in the right way. And Paul says this, there will be a day of judgment on our work. Look at verses 13 through 15. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through fire. And Paul is saying that once the foundation is laid, once the walls are put up and the roofs put on, there's going to be an inspection. And if you use cheap materials, it'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and it'll be rigorous. Everything you've done will be known and it'll be found out. You won't be able to get away with anything. If your work passes the inspection, your reward will stand. But if your work doesn't pass, that part of the building will be torn out and it'll be started over. But there's good news, though. Even if your work is torn out, you won't be fired. You're still part of the church. What does all this really mean? There will be a day of testing that takes place at the judgment seat of Christ. The purpose of the testing is to give an examination of the worker's work. Now, not the worker himself, because they're saved. They've been washed by the blood, but their work, was it built with precious stones, silver, or gold, or was it built with sticks, hay, and straw? And Paul is saying that the rewards of your work will be tested by fire, and what remains will be appraised by God. And Paul's not talking about the day of judgment for the unbelievers. He's writing to the believers, the Christians in the church at Corinth. So this is about the day of inspection and not the day of judgment. Anyone that has ever built or sold a home, you know how important inspection day is. With all the homes I've sold, no matter how confident I was that my home would pass inspection, it seemed my judgment of satisfactory didn't always meet the inspector's. Anywhere it seemed that I tried to cut a corner, it always seemed the inspector found it. If you've had that same experience as me, then this should humble your heart. This should make you evaluate how you are building. And I want to close with this final thought. Christian service that has no lasting values like junk food. It may look and taste good. It may fill your stomach. But after it's digested and converted, it's just grease and sugar and salt and fat. The next time you go to grab a Big Mac or a donut, think about the day of inspection. When all that grease and sugar and salt and fat are taken away, there isn't much nutritional value left. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to present a life of spiritual junk food to Christ that has very little value after going through the flames. I want to present Christ with a life of quality service built on a solid foundation and using precious materials. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for this passage as we start to understand about building our spiritual life, how we're supposed to build a solid foundation on you, how it is on Christ, and it's only by grace, and that whatever we do, that you have an ultimate purpose, and that when we learn to yield our life to you, we fulfill that walk and that purpose in you. Lord, and as we build that foundation, there is a formation of the building. We have to put up the walls, we have to put on the roof, and that's done by different people. Different people come in our lives and they pour into us and they teach us. Lord, we just ask that we would learn to understand, to hear the truth that you have to say. And Lord, that they use different methods and their teaching may be different. It may not be the way that I would teach it or someone else would teach it, but the methods is all about the truth and the gospel that's laid on. And last, Lord, that there are different materials. And Lord, let us always check ourselves that we are building with the right material. Lord, that we don't try to cut corners. We don't try to do it in our own strength, but we try to do it in your spirit. Because that day of inspection is coming when it will go through fire. Lord, when it will be tested. And Lord, I want at the end of that to have precious material to put at the feet of Jesus. Lord, maybe there's one today that doesn't know you. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they would turn over, that they would become a Christian. They would ask you in their heart. Lord, they would believe on you that you died on the cross, Lord, and they would make you Lord of their life. And Lord, maybe there's one that Paul has talked to today that they realize that they've not been building right. They have one of these areas out of alignment. Lord, I ask that they would turn it back to you. They would repent. They would fall before you and say that they're sorry. And Lord, that they would ask for your strength and your help to make it right. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We're going to give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.